Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, a show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. Today we are going to be talking about something that is very top of mind for me. It's about getting paid what you are worth. How fun is that? I'm joined by my friend and client, Linda Edgecombe. Welcome, Linda. You can hear her laughing already.
No, it's just the conundrum of fees. Oh my word. Okay.
It's great to be here. That's exactly what we're talking about today. Tell everybody, you gave me this great story for the Wealthy Speaker 3.0. Thank you, by the way, for contributing. And about how you got started into the speaking industry. Yep. Talk about how you began.
The last time I had a job back in the very early 90s, I worked for Participaction. For the people my age will remember Participaction.
Canada, yes.
And so my job was to run around Southern BC. That's where my territory was, and speak to everybody, every chamber of commerce, every, you know, city council, the Rotaries, the whoever's, the Lions, any group that would listen to, you know, how to make yourself and your communities healthier. And what I've always had, I say going for me, it's just part of my genetic makeup, is I have an irreverent sense of humor. And so whenever I'd give my presentations for Participaction, it'd be like 10 minutes max, people would laugh. I mean, they'd have a good time and I'd make a joke, self-deprecating jokes. And then someone from BC Hydro, supplier here in British Columbia, called me one day and said, "Hey, I saw you at this chamber thing. We're having a staff, you know, sort of a wellness day," I guess they would have called it. I can't remember what they called it back then. "Would you be able to speak at it?" And I'm like, sure. "How long do you want me to speak?" He said, "Oh, an hour." But in my head, I'm like, "Oh my God, what the hell do I say for an hour? How do I fill an hour?" And he says, "What's your fees?" And I said, "Fees, geez, my brain's going, well, I get paid $25 an hour with Participaction." So I told him $25. And he's on the end of the phone, he goes, "That's great." And then he says, "Why don't you come early and join us for lunch?" I went, "Wow, isn't that generous?"
Yes. Is it going to be chicken? Is it rubber?
Yeah. How many times can you eat chicken in 30 years? And then he says, then I thought, okay, I'm being savvy because it was in a city just north of me. I said, "You know, could you pay some gas money?" You know, he says, "Absolutely." I think it was 25 cents kilometer at the time, which is like 10 cents, you know, a dollar per gallon anyways. And I thought, wow, I'm a negotiator. Anyway, I had no idea. A, there was such a thing as a business, an industry, a profession, as speakers. I mean, I've been to some workshops and, you know, seen people do that. But I basically did what you're not supposed to do, is I went, okay, what have I done in a workshop before that I could fill the time with? And went off and did this presentation. And they laughed, you know, with me for the hour. And then BC Hydro called me back and said, "That was fantastic." And they literally started booking me to go to every community they had an office in BC. And then they go, "Oh, we need more than an hour. We need a half day." And I almost like flipped out. Like, how do I fill? Anyways, I immediately went, because I chatted with a couple of people, from $25 to $500. And I thought, holy crap, that's a massive leap. And then when I did a full day for BC Hydro, this is all within the first year, I think I charged $1,000. And still, no real clue. Yeah, progress.
$25 to $500 to $1,000.
Yeah.
And what I want to kind of drive home about that, and this was how you were featured in the book, was that spinoff is king. And you made a kind of a tactical decision early on in your business that you were going to derive two or three pieces of business from every piece of business. And so there is no better form of marketing than a great speech. And if you can be funny, which Linda has shown to be, you know, she was always talking kind of about health and wellness and resilience and using humor in that regard. I think it's gold. I think people laugh. And they laugh more now than ever, don't you think?
Yeah, I really, honestly, it's because my content has gotten gotten deeper and, you know, more human. And not all that content is easy content. But when you can wrap that content with laughter, it resonates and sinks in better for your audiences. They retain it longer. And they walk out with feeling relieved because they've laughed. And
you can go to dark, you know, kind of dark places, because if you wrap it in some humor, it's not that you're going to stay down in the deep, dark hole.
No.
You can be so human yourself. And I know that that's you sharing and being vulnerable. And that's part of your charm, Linda, is that you are so vulnerable from
the, you know, past. What, Jane, I was speaking at the CAPS BC chapter this past weekend. And I said a technique that Les Brown taught me 27 years ago is when you tell a story or tell something that it brings people emotionally into play, mm-hmm. we need to actually break it with some levity to give the audience a release.
Yes.
So they can get back to it. So that is a technique that I learned early. And I learned that the funnier I was, the more bookings I got. And this whole idea about I want two or three bookings out of every booking, I didn't even think that that was, you know, law of attraction. I just thought that's my goal. I want to keep expanding. And literally, you know, I hate to say it, but my marketing has been, well, an easy 95% word of mouth.
Hmm.
Yeah, easy.
95% word of mouth. By the way, Les Brown is who got me into the business over 30 years ago. So it was probably a little earlier in your time frame too, that he entered into your equation. I like that, you know, kind of you can break up a difficult story with humor. And we don't keep people down in the hole for very long. You kind of pop them back up out of there. And I think that it just says something about you that you can go to these places with your audience. Now, let's talk a little bit. You talked about going from $25 to $500 to $1,000. Fast forward now, kind of, you know, another 10 or 20 years later in your career, talk about your range of fees. Did you have any kind of like concrete fees before, let's say before we started working together, because I know that there was a big change.
No, I have.
Call.
I would say that consistently, and this, when I say consistently, I mean, this is the average, because my fees are anywhere from, I always say to clients, especially if they're in the Valley, I live in the Okanagan Valley.
Yeah.
If they're in the Valley, I say, you know, my fee range is anywhere from a bottle of Shiraz to full fee. And I've gotten a bottle of Shiraz and I've gotten full fee many times, both sides of that equation in the Valley. I wouldn't have that range if I have to get on a plane and travel somewhere. But that's the joke.
Yeah.
The good thing about saying that, you know, there's good and bad about it. And, you know, you're teaching me well. The good thing is that even if I got full fee, they still give me a bottle of Shiraz. So.
Yay! And just for all of you south of the border, know that the Okanagan Valley is where there are some beautiful wines being made in British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, we're the Napa of Canada. But so on average, because yes, would I negotiate? You know, actually my philosophy has always been, I'm the one that's paying the mortgage here. I've got bills. If I want to do an engagement and they've got 5,000 and I want to do it, I would do it.
And you do it. Okay. So, and I think that that's really my word for you when deciding on your fees is be intentional.
Yes.
That's all. And so now you've actually created kind of a different intentionality, but I want to keep on kind of this path, because there was a moment in time during COVID, I follow you on social media, and I thought to myself, I wonder if Linda is deciding whether or not she wants to stay in the business or go and do something else, because...
Yes. And let me just caveat this with, because I had such good, deep conversations with colleagues who I've known for lots of years at this CAPS meeting on the weekend.
Oh, lovely.
And highly successful speakers who also, like myself in COVID, have had a deep dive into depression. And lots of people have, and lots of people listening to this will have had anxiety and all the things, all the questioning, because our business completely, you know, evaporated unless you got online, went virtual. Some people did, some people didn't. And so that mental health play of, do I want to continue? Because what COVID gave us was a snapshot. And now, because I'm in my early 60s, a snapshot of what retirement might look like, feel like, be like, some of it good, some of it not good. So I'm not the only person feeling this way, feeling that dip. But when I decided, after seeing you at one of our meetings, on a virtual meeting, and I went, okay, I want to talk to Jane. And then I think just before I got on the call with you that day, I had said, I'm going to push for another 2, maybe 3 years, maybe longer, but I'm just right now committed I'm going to
partial commitment prior to showing up to our coaching call.
Yeah. And then commit, invest in this and all this. You know, it's been amazing working with you. And we're just really getting started.
Yes.
But when the decision is made, I know this energetically. When the decision is made, I'm going to put some money on the table. I'm going to work with you, going to learn from you, learn from all the other beautiful people that are working with you, humans. Energetically, things shift. And it's always worked this way for me. I've had years where I've gone open up my computer on January 3rd or whatever. Nothing. I've got nothing on the books. And I kind of have a small panic attack. And then I go, but every year, I energetically put some energy into my business, that can be just starting to write more, starting to talk, making a few phone calls, touching base with some old client. That energy just seems like it's magic. It just starts to feed on itself.
Well, I want to share with everybody, and I'm going to do this on, if you're listening into the podcast, you may want to tune into the YouTube version of it so that you can see this. I'm going to describe it to you, so it's not essential. But I want to share with you all, this is actually Dan Sullivan's. Oh, that's funny. I'm sharing a little more than I should because you can see my pictures way at the bottom of the screen, but that's okay. I want to share with you all this is called Dan Sullivan's 4 C's. And he wrote a book on this. Just Google Dan Sullivan's 4 C's. And the 4 C's all start with commitment. And Linda, because my husband just turned 65, or he's getting ready to turn 65 in a week or two, I have been thinking about, okay, well, what do I want? I know that when he's off having fun and playing golf all day, I'm going to be jealous. And so I have had to recommit myself to my next 5 years because, you know, here I am in the middle of writing a book, The Wealthy Speaker 3.0, and yet I still am questioning, am I committed to this long term? And it's just because of all this retirement talk that's been going on in our house. So I've had to like recommit to it. So step number one of the 4 C's is commitment. A lot of people think that you have to start with confidence, but let me get to that in a second. Because step number two is actually courage. When you get tested, so you're probably going to be tested and I'm probably going to be tested somewhere in the next 6 months, let's say. We've made this commitment, but something's going to happen and we're going to be tested and we're going to have to courageously just go through it. And so number one is commitment. Number two is courage. Number three is capability. And that's where we're learning new skills and new things that we need to learn in order to kind of move through towards our goals. And then number four, which is confidence, comes into play. So let me just relay those again for you. Commitment, courage, capability, confidence.
I've always said, you know, none of us get courage or confidence before we go and do something. We get it after we've done it.
Yes, and exactly.
Our foundation of the capability of doing stuff.
Yes.
The knowing that you can do it comes from you've already walked into something before. So you have to literally walk into stuff and the courage and confidence comes after. And so the first time I did a big speaking contest, I was scared shitless. But you know, you pull your stuff together and you do it and you're like, wow, okay. And then I thought, can I do a TED? I can do a TED talk. I'm nervous of that too. You know, doing at a conference.
I'll go through a TED talk because I feel like that really, okay, so first you have to commit. I'm going to do a TED talk. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to have to take some actions to make that happen.
Yes. Lots of actions.
But leading up to the TED talk, you're going to need to tap into your courage because you are going to be a little bit scared because who wouldn't be? It's only 18 minutes. Who wouldn't be scared? But also, the capability comes into play. You need to learn how to figure it out, how to get a message across in 18 minutes. Is 18 the right timeline?
18 to 20 max.
That is not an easy.
No, it's not. To make a point.
Oh, yeah. Rehearse more than you've ever rehearsed before. You're going to have to smooth out your edges and really make sure that you're going to the right places at the right time and formulating it. And that is a massive amount of capability. And then you have confidence because you've done the work and you can arrive feeling confident for your TED talk. But you think that I need the confidence to actually go out and book a TED Talk. It doesn't actually happen in that order.
No, agreed. That is total truth. Because I didn't get through the opening story in about 10, 12 minutes of a normal presentation. So, and plus I do, my style is I say,
I'm all meandering style.
I'm a meandering style.
But again,
let me say this to everybody listening. If you can get people laughing, they won't care.
Exactly. And that is your secret sauce right there. But, learning and figuring out your capability. Okay. So you made this decision and I noticed a change in you the minute you kind of really, truly committed to it. And I think you also made a commitment at the same time to getting paid what you were worth.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about who were the farmers
the international bison producers of the world, yes, are coming to Saskatoon.
You kept giggling. You would laugh every time you talked about the bison farmers and you put together this proposal for them. And I thought to myself, well, she's laughing kind of going into it. I feel like that's a good state of mind to be in when you're putting together a high stakes proposal.
Yeah.
Was that the highest fee that you were going to go for? Or have there been something else since that has been higher?
Well, one, because it's in American dollars. So yes, it's way higher.
Okay. So that's 30% on the dollar, by the way, for anybody who's thinking about dipping their toe into.
That'll be another five. So that'll be a $20,000 day for me.
Yeah. So
that's huge.
And once you book one of those, here's the thing. It now opens up the world to book many, many more. And so we've also moved you from, and this was something that you had in the works before I came onto the scene, but we've also moved you from booking the one-off speech to booking packages.
Yes.
Now let me really see how much I can affect change with the people. You've written a bunch of books, so you can include books in your packages.
Yeah.
What other things do you include in your packages?
I include a copy of Breaking Busy, an e-copy of Breaking Busy. That's in the first level. I include that plus a mini book called Quick Shift, the Busy Person's Guide to Getting Their Life Back in the second level. So I start it. I can say the numbers. I'm talking about numbers already. I start at 10, then to 12.5, and then to 15. And 15 includes all of that. Plus they have access to the Resilient Organization online course. And I really, and this is important for people to when you're putting packages together. So there's value in it.
Yes.
But there's also an ability to promote that if they go with number three, which the Bison people did, it really does. Cause I know this. So I'm confident in knowing that it adds value because it's a course I sell, but for momentum and effect and accountability for their members they're already spending so much money on bringing all those people there.
Gather, yes.
That, I know they want their members walking away from that, themselves being jazzed up with a different sort of mindset, because I've chatted with them. So I talk to that languaging that I've chatted with them before I've done the proposal.
Yeah.
So it complements that. I did not expect I did not expect them to go, oh, no, we're going to go with number three. I literally, I'm looking at my computer like with big cow eyes. I'm like, holy crap.
Really?
Yeah.
And so I want to kind of back to the thought model work. And by the way, the thought model that I work with is from Brooke Castillo. And the four C's that I just mentioned were from Dan Sullivan. And Brooke Castillo has used Dan Sullivan as well as her coach. So it's a small little world. We're talking kind of all these angles on mindset. But the thought model that we talk through has an F line, and the F line is all about feeling. And so let's say we walk you through the model doing this bison proposal, and you're doing the bison proposal with, I have a lot of value for them is your thought. Mm-hmm. And the feeling that you have is just confidence or kind of like almost like,
Well, I'm fine.
Let me just go for it. Right. I'm just going to go for it all in, like just this level of confidence. And you would laugh all the time when you were talking about the bison farmers. And I just thought, well, that's the perfect mentality to be approaching this with.
Yep.
Because if it makes you giggle, then you're not afraid of it.
Okay, let's.
You weren't afraid to say no.
I'm going to add on one more thing. I got a request from a Canadian bureau, big one, on Friday. And he says to me, Linda, can you just, because I must have said something. I can't remember. I must have sent something to him a while back, or maybe a couple months ago. Can you really outline the three levels again for me? Because I really want to sell the top one. So
you see, okay, so this is really, I'm going to talk to the Canadian listeners here for a second. You think you know that Canadians will not pay past a certain point, but please let me tell you, you don't know. And the reason why that bureau came to Linda saying, I'm going to sell this top package, is because they want to make the most commission humanly possible. And so they have clients at the 15,000 mark here in Canada. So, and I have another client, Kendall Netmaker, who is earning 15,000 Canadian all the time. And so I've talked on this on the podcast before, is don't assume that you know what the top end of the budget is going to be. I say that's a message for Canadians, but really it's a message for everybody, because you really need to go into these negotiations and into these proposal writings from a place of confidence. You're feeling, and if you're, it's all about, oh, I don't think they're going to, they're never going to have that much money, or I don't think they're going to be, you know, we really have to be coming at all of the things that we do from a place of confidence that the right customers will find me and they will be able to pay me.
So I'll give one more example. Which I landed about a week ago, and they're a school district in Manitoba that she's like, but she really, really wants me.
Okay, so I'm thinking Manitoba, school district, not much money there, right? So that's my own mindset taking over.
She says to me, she goes, so here's what I'm going to do, because I really, really, I want to bring you out, is I'm going to go find another organization that can partner with me. And they can either attend our event, or maybe she goes, would you be willing to do another one on the same day? And of course I will. I'm not going to leave that on the table. And I didn't even have to say to her, well, what about finding a sponsor or something like that?
If they want it badly enough, they will figure it out. Manitoba is one of our smallest provinces.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are not known for having a lot of money to throw around. There's no oil there.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
I would say one more thing that's been working well for me. So, and you know, I've been doing this all along, but I've done it at various fee rates. If I was booked already, or if they did not have the budget that I was asking for. So I then say, because I know a lot of people in this industry, I know a lot of people in Canada, all the provinces that are great. I go, I have a stunt double. That's the word I use. I have a stunt double. Normally she or he's skinnier than I am, but I have a stunt double whose fees are more aligned with you. And I know the quality of work they do. I know they're funny. I know they're engaging. All the things that they would have asked me for. And then I run my own sort of side agency and I take a finder's fee. I'm not totally leaving money on the table.
I love that. Okay. So let's just talk about when somebody approaches you and you think maybe that they don't have all the money, definitely try piggybacking. If you can do more than one engagement, maybe we can sort that out. We can definitely try having them find a sponsor. And I really love it when they leave you saying, I'm going to figure this out. They get so whooped up, so excited about working with you that they are going to go and find the money. But the alternative is, okay, we know that they have, you know, $3,000 and it's never going to work. Okay, no problem. Let me just think about who I might be able to send in. I love the term stunt double. That is so funny. I can send in somebody else. And, you know, Linda makes a little bit of money just for sending over a referral, and somebody else is quite happy with that.
And I'll be honest with you as well, Jane, just so that they know I'm still connected, I usually run that contract.
Oh.
Because the client, you know, because again, 95, even higher percent of my business comes from referrals. So they have some sense of,
yes,
I don't know, confidence, safety, whatever.
Trust. They trust you.
Trust.
So now the trust is continuing, and you're also kind of keeping your client for next time to be able to say, okay, I'll be standing by when you can. So Linda, I want to say thank you so much for participating. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you think is really important on the topic of kind of standing tall in your fees or commanding what it is that you are worth?
Just push send.
So you do up the email.
Da, 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 da.
It confidence, might I add. I'm going to add in, we need to come at this from the feeling of confidence, kind of nothing to lose, no hold.
Actually, you know, I do have a tip.
Okay.
Because, you know, okay, so I've done this for a long time. I haven't done this since I've been working with you, but I've done it for a long time. When I send out the proposal, and for a long time, it wasn't tiered like it is now, but I would say, just so you know, I just how I say it, just like this, just so you know, I tell all my clients this, if I am a good fit for your team, your group, your members, whatever it is, association versus corporation, and I believe I am, comma, we will work the budget out. Okay, so because the person I'm sending this to may not be the decision maker, and they might not be comfortable negotiating, because not everybody's comfortable negotiating from their end. They don't like that part of their job. I just don't want them to think that they can't come back to me and say, well, I want to continue the conversation until...
Yeah. Well, we'll discuss that on your coaching call as soon as we get up here. I actually am okay with your leaving the door open a little bit, but maybe there's a wording on that that we can just tweak it slightly to ensure that you're not saying, here's my fee, but, and, if, or, however, you know, if you have,
I know,
if you have a bottle of Chardonnay, I'll consider that. And
it better be from Rothschild.
Okay. I'm just really thrilled with where you have come. Like, because when you came back on the scene post-COVID, it's almost like you've been kicking butt and taking names.
It feels like it. Honestly, I know for a fact how flipping great I feel being up back in front of audiences. Like it's, and I'm not, I told the guys on Saturday, I'm not smooth. I'm still a bit clunky. I don't even care. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So I'm literally having a ton of fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I think where that fun is coming from is just realizing, I do love this. I really would miss this if I did decide to retire. And so I'm happy for the audiences that are going to experience you over the next 2 or 3 years, because you would be a loss to the speaking scene.
I also decided to write another book.
Oh, that's so exciting. And by the way, Linda is open for business coming south of the border. So for those U.S. bureaus who might be listening in, she'll be reaching out.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you all, and I cannot wait. We've got so much news coming down the pike. I am super, super excited. Please reach out to me, jane@speakerlauncher.com, if you are curious about anything we've talked about today. And with that, we will say, see you soon, wealthy speakers. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks again, bye-bye. Linda.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to WealthySpeakerSchool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.